This is Matt Greller, CEO of AIM. Welcome to the Hometown Innovations Podcast. Join us as we share ways our municipalities are positioning themselves for the future, thought-provoking interviews with state and local leaders, and more. Thanks for listening as we tell the municipal story.
Welcome to this episode of AIM's Hometown Innovations Podcast. This is Chelsea Schneider, AIM Municipal Innovation Specialist, and I am here with Brian Gould, AIM Government Affairs Director, and Lindsay Moss, Assistant Government Affairs Director and Legislative Counsel, and we are looking ahead to what we can expect in the 2018 General Assembly session. So tell me a little bit about, you know, the issues you guys are tracking ahead of this next session and what we can expect.
Great. Thanks, Chelsea. Lindsay and I are excited to be able to be here this afternoon and provide a podcast with our membership and a little insight as to what we're anticipating for the upcoming General Assembly at the start of 2018. It's kind of hard to believe the time is once again upon us, but we're a little less than 3 weeks from the beginning of a short legislative session, which will last about 10 weeks. So that gives legislators until March 15th to finish up on what we're anticipating to be some pretty big, complicated, complex issues. I think a little insight we've kind of been relaying to our membership that the headliners, the upcoming session, are really going to focus on guns, drugs, and alcohol, but along with that, workforce development. And those are really four big issues that are going to kind of steal the headlines and hopefully not take too much air out of the room, so we can still focus in on some of the operational initiatives that we're working on, some other day-to-day type of issues that our membership are seeing all across the state. But allow us to continue to make a lot of progress on not just our agenda, but the governor's agenda and moving Indiana forward. So as I mentioned, on those big ticket issues, I think a couple in particular that we're going to be focusing in on for the upcoming session, especially on drugs, is the opioid crisis. This is obviously something that's been impacting every community statewide. We hear it from our membership on a regular basis that we need additional resources, tools, revenue, ways to help battle this crisis.
Great. And, you know, tell me a little bit about the operational initiatives that you're planning to take to the General Assembly to benefit, you know, cities and towns.
So each year we have started doing an operational agenda where we've asked members to identify places in Indiana code that make their jobs more difficult on an everyday basis. So there's a conflict in language in this section of the code versus this other section of the code, and we don't really know which direction we're supposed to go, or there's this really unnecessary reporting requirement that we're already doing, you know, on this end. Why do we have to do it on this end as well? So just asking our members to identify those sorts of things that impact the way they're operating on an everyday basis. So we've built an operational agenda around that. And we have several bills that will be introduced to kind of address those issues that have been brought to us. One is to resolve statutory conflicts in a couple of different places in code. Another removes onerous requirements. For example, there's a requirement that police pension board meetings have to meet on the second Tuesday in February. It's obviously a very prescriptive date, doesn't allow a lot of flexibility. So we're going to have a proposal and a piece of larger legislation that gives local governments more flexibility. There's another that requires local governments to publish their annual report of receipts and expenditures in the newspaper every year. But that's already part of the annual financial report that's being uploaded to Gateway. So we would like to remove the requirement that that you must post those notices or publish those notices in the newspaper and just let the Gateway reporting requirement be sufficient. There's another, over the last several years, it seems like every session we're working on some sort of blighted housing legislation. There will be another one. A lot of progress has been made in that area. But as community leaders continue to deal with problem properties in their neighborhoods, one issue that's been brought to our attention is that there's no real way to put buyers at a tax sale on notice of all of the things that are wrong with that property. So these buyers acquire the property and realize after they've already purchased it that there are way more things wrong with it than they would have anticipated. So we're going to have legislation that would allow municipalities to attach an order to repair to a property that's being sold at tax sale. So that way the buyer, when they come in, they can see, oh, XYZ is not up to code and I have, you know, this defined amount of time in order to bring it up to code. So they're making a purchase with more information than they have today.
And I think what's been really helpful with us, our new approach on our operational initiatives, this really gives us an opportunity to work with a handful of legislators on some non-controversial, common sense, good government legislation. And we hope that these move forward just like last year where we had 2 to 3 AIM initiatives that were passed out of both chambers with several weeks remaining in session. And just puts a face on AIM that, look, we are trying to work with local government to continue to make it better for our constituents, which are legislators' constituents, and just finding ways to be more efficient and effective with local resources.
Great. And, you know, like you said earlier, opioids are going to be, you know, a really big topic, you know, this upcoming session. I mean, where do you guys feel, you know, cities and towns kind of interact with those issues, and what are you kind of looking ahead when it comes to that?
So over the summer, we did a series of regional roundtables with mayors and other local officials in collaboration with the governor's administration, the Family Social Services Administration, and the level of discussion there during those roundtables was really eye-opening. Local officials are dealing with opioid crisis on a local level, on an everyday basis, not just the stories of addiction in their communities, but also the impact that the crisis is having on local resources. So increased police costs, increased costs to social services like DCS. So we clearly have a stake in this discussion, and we were really excited to see the governor's agenda. One of his pillars is to address the opioid crisis, and we want to do everything we can to help support that agenda and add the municipal story to give more background context to what's happening every day in our communities.
And I think we can expect in the upcoming session that most of the legislation will focus on additional resources, tools for both state and local government. I would believe that a lot of the discussion on additional funding and revenue will probably hold off until the 2019 budget session. But again, we want to look at each of those, each piece of legislation and see if there are additional ways to help at the local level that we can get engaged on those issues, help support them, testify in committee, speak to legislators, lobby on behalf of the author of the bill or the governor's office, and really just to, you know, just keep chipping away at this. And hopefully, just like we did with methamphetamines, it's a long process. It's a complicated, challenging way to move forward, but you have to keep chipping away each year.
I think one aspect of the governor's agenda in terms of addressing the opioid crisis is the initiative to increase the number of approved treatment centers. That's something that clearly our municipal officials will be involved in terms of, hey, you know, where is the best location for this treatment center? You know, there's a hotbed of activity in this region. This is where there's the most need for a new treatment center. So to the extent that we can help identify those locations and work with state and local officials, we would like to do that.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you guys being on the podcast to give us an update ahead of session. Is there anything else you think that listeners should know when it comes to, you know, looking ahead to January when they reconvene?
I think something that has been garnering quite a bit of attention, but maybe not something in the headlines that we'll see a lot about, is just really workforce development. We're hearing that all across the state, and that's tied to a lot of other issues, the opioid crisis, housing, rural broadband, population shift in the state. So it's a very big, complicated issue with multiple layers to it, and everyone's trying to figure out what the silver bullet is to address that. It may not exist, but I think those are some of the other critical pieces that tie into workforce development that we'll see more legislation. We'll continue to work and make progress on those issues. Probably won't find the answer this year, but at least hopefully continue that conversation, get the ball rolling for 2019.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Brian and Lindsay. We really appreciate you being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.